Hello folks, I'm John Myrie and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk bass and bluegill fishing with Ken Molander from Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then lastly, we talk muskies with muskie pro Pete Mayna. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get ready to ride. Hayward Power Sports has 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for action. Plus, during the Polaris Spring Do More sales event, there are even generous incentives offered for the first time in years. Adrenaline junkies, feel the unbridled freedom of the pure speed and power with a Polaris RZR 1000 XP Ultimate offering a rebate of $3,000. Or do you need a side-by-side that's a true workhorse? Then the Polaris RZR 1000 Premium is it and comes with a $1,500 rebate. Hayward Power Sports even has the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV with a $500 rebate on select models. And don't forget, we can help customize your machine to match how you use it. The options are endless, from a winch, plow, cab, heater or AC, to racks, gun scabbards, track kits, and more. These are all brand new 2023 models and stock is limited. Don't miss out. Come see us at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
For complete program details, see Hayward Power Sports. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on our 50-50 cash raffle. You could walk away with a pile of cash. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily,
including Sundays, through October 31st at 9:30 a.m. We're recording down at Hayward Bait and Bottle with Jarrett McCarthy in here. And Jarrett, we've had some actually stable weather pretty good for the last week or so here.
We really have, and we've really seen that stable weather have a great effect on the fishing. You know, we've got one day coming up this week that got a little bit of a cold front coming in, but otherwise, you know, just steady weather temps.
We had that one cold front came through and water cooled down here this last week, and that did seem to put the fish off a little bit, I heard. But depending on what lake you're on, I was doing good the whole time.
Yeah, we had a couple anglers that came in and said that cold front kind of knocked them out for that morning, but warmed up a little bit later towards that afternoon. They came right back in. They were good to go.
That's what I had going. In the afternoon, we were getting fish. And we're talking walleyes right now, too, and walleye fishing has been actually pretty darn good and been... Are you hearing anything? I know I've heard some on the leeches, but what do you hear as far as bait?
As far as bait, it's been, you know, almost strictly a minnow bite right now. Most guys are out there using fatheads and walleye suckers. Water's still a little on the cold side for leeches, but, you know, we're starting to hear some success going with leeches.
Yeah, I know, and I've heard some good reports on some of the big lakes, guys throwing stick baits and crankbaits and stuff and jerk baits.
Yeah, we have too. Some of the big, deeper, clear lakes, a lot of the guys are up shallow.
And let's talk crappies and panfish. Now, I'm getting good reports on the crappies. I haven't been after crappies yet, but I'm having reports that they're up in skinny water and getting to do their thing.
Yep, they are. I was out crappie fishing last week myself, and they are definitely up along the shorelines right now. They're in the timber. They're in any kind of structure along the shoreline right now.
You know, and people are going out looking for those crappies up shallow, too. The one thing I always find is that I don't find them in every little bay. You can have six little coves that look ideal, and one of them or two of them are going to have the crappies in there.
Yep, it's just hunting and pecking for them like usually, but usually when you find one, you find a little colony of them. you know, and this time of year, you know, when they're nesting, you know, it's a really easy time of the year to catch them, but, you know, this is the time of year when they are making fish for future generations. So yeah. When you're going in looking for those fish on the nest, you know, do your best to, you know, practice selective harvest.
You know, and if you get on the fish when they're back in them coves and stuff too, they do get real spooky.
They do, yeah. So, you know, a good pair of polarized sunglasses right now so you can see those fish from a little ways away and make accurate casts in to get them so you're not spooking them left and right with the boat running through the shallow structure. Yeah, it helps.
You know, you said selective harvest too, and the DNR, I've talked to the DNR guys before, and people they're saying harvest what you're catching. If you're catching all 8-9-inch crappies and a few 10s and 12s, you should be throwing a few 10s and 12s back and keeping the 8s and 9s. If you're catching all 10s and 12s, that's a different story. But, you know, just kind of, if you're catching all 8s and 9s, it tells you that the lake has got that really strong year class in there and it could support some harvest and maybe a lot fewer of the bigger ones.
And realistically, if you're in a lake and you're catching, you know, 8 and 9 inch crappies on average and you're catching a couple of those 10 to 12 inches, those 8s and 9s are going to be your perfect fish to eat. And those younger fish, you know, whether it goes for a panfish or walleye or what have you, those younger fish are definitely the more tender and the better tasting meat too. So don't think that just because you're catching the bigger fish, it's going to taste better. Just because you get more meat, you can definitely practice selective harvest and take some smaller fish and still have the same quality.
You know, as far as other fishing, anything on northern pike out there?
We're hearing a little bit on northern pike. Still seems like they're back in the shallow bays. They're sunning themselves whenever they get the opportunity. Some guys get them on live baits. Some guys are fishing spoons and spinner baits. But pike fishing's been okay.
And another thing we're going to talk about here is the bass fishing. Bass fishing is something that's been growing like crazy up north, and it's been popular all over the country, though, for a long time.
Yeah, it really has. It's gained a lot of popularity up here, and you can kind of see it when you walk through any of the shops, including ours, with how well-stocked we are with bass plastics and spinner baits and crankbaits or what have you. But, you know, a lot of guys that are, you know, even just getting into fishing, bass are like that number one game species that you're going to start off with.
You know, when I came up here 40-some years ago, it was mostly walleye stuff and panfish stuff and musky stuff. You hardly didn't find much for bass lures and plastics.
Yo, and now it's all over the place. You know, a lot of guys enjoy fishing largemouth out there on the lakes. There's a lot of tournaments around here for them. And then smallmouth, you know, they are a fun little critter to go out and catch. I mean, they're so curious. They're so acrobatic, you know, when they jump. It's a thrill to catch a smallmouth, yeah.
You know, I always have said this, that when you start to see those dragonflies hatching, and we'll start to see that sometime here toward the end of the month, and when you start to see those, that's when you start pulling out the pop-ars and the topwater baits and the smallies. You can have a blast catching smallies in some of our lakes up here on topwater baits.
And it is so much fun with topwater, just to see them come out and just destroy topwater baits. You know, a lot of guys up here are using, you know, the pop-ars, the whopper ploppers and what have you like that. There's just so many different ways to throw a topwater up here, and those smallies, they never disappoint.
You know, with smallies too, just like with jerkbaits. So I think a big mistake people make is they work too fast. You want to leave a little pause. If you twitch a pop-ar, twitch it, leave it sit there for a little bit, and then twitch it again. Don't pop, 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 pop with it. You know, you want to just give them a little chance to look at it and think about it.
Yeah, I got some advice one time, you know, from my dad and my gramps with fishing topwaters. It's, you know, pop that bait, and then you wait for that wake to come off the bait to clear, and then you pop it again. So, you know, don't think that you have to go super fast. You can go with a slow presentation on a topwater.
You know, as far as harvest on bass, the smallmouth, most of that is catch and release up here. In fact, some of our better lakes are 18-inch minimum.
Yeah, a lot of those.
One fish.
Yep, which is a good thing. You know, a lot of the smallmouth up here is catch and release up until, I think it's the third week of June. And
yep.
I believe they do that to protect them on their spawning beds up here. But as far as harvest of largemouth go, you know, when you get a largemouth and you take it out and you fillet it up, one of those nice 14, 15-inch largemouth, you know, that fillet looks a lot like a 14, 15-inch walleye, and it tastes pretty similar too, as long as you take out the bones in there. The
you know, especially them small ones, what they want, them 10s and 12s even, in some lakes, they make it legal to take them because they're so plentiful out there. But, you know, there are bass lakes up here that are managed like the Tiger Cat chain, where the mid-sized bass, so you can't keep them.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and that's to make a better fishery up here. You know, they do that with all sorts of fish species up here, you know, to make certain lakes a better destination than others for bigger fish.
You know, regulations that we've seen a lot of changes over the years, and most of them are to make the fishery in better yet.
Yep, absolutely. You know, we had that the change on the flowage last year from 25 to 10 panfish, and, you know, it might take a couple of years to see the return on that, to see some of those bigger fish come back, but, yeah, it's all for the better.
Let's talk a little bit about the shop down here. A lot of people in here over the last week or two, I'm sure.
Whole bunch of people in here, a lot of people getting out fishing. You know, we're well stocked with just about everything down here. We're constantly seeing stuff walk through the door, restocking and getting, you know, new items out. So whatever you're looking for, even if we don't have it, come on out and bend our ear and we'll make sure we get it for you.
Well, you got a lot of bass plastics and bass lures and a lot of panfish stuff, walleye stuff, and you got about 90 feet of wall of musky baits for the guys that are after the musky.
Absolutely, and we got musky season, so, you know, we're getting all of our good musky stuff in right now. So if you're itching to get out and get prepped for it, you know, we're here for you.
Yeah, musky season opens the weekend we're airing this, so.
Yeah, we're close. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Jared, for coming on here.
Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll be talking fishing with Ken Melinder from down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of musky baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Make the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Save over $21,000 on a fully loaded 1975 Pro V Sport. Or we've discounted the 2075 Pro V Sport Limited over $34,000. We have remaining 2022s, and the brand new 2023 Lunds are here with more arriving weekly. From the 1650 Angler SS, that's ideal for fishing small bodies of water, all the way to the 1875 Impact XS, that's perfect for family fishing for up to 6 people. Get your new Lund today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, we've got some great bass and bluegill fishing here in the north, and on this part of the show, I had a chance to talk with a local from Hayward area here who fishes a lot of bass tournaments, Ken Melinder, and Ken offers some great tips on bass fishing and a lot more.
We're talking to Ken down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, who also is one of the best bass fishermen I know around here and fish a lot of tournaments. And Ken, good to have you on the show here.
Yeah, right now, you know, the sunfish are in the bass family, and the sunfish are moving up in the shallows, and they've got their name to sun because they like suspending up in the shallows due to the fact is there's more oxygen on the upper water column. And right now, the best bite is fly fishing. Just because of all the sunfish on high sun are up way up high in the water column, even though you might be on a tree in 10, 15 feet of water. And then once the weeds start growing a little better on the bottom, they'll spread out a little bit more, you know, from that 5 feet all the way up to a foot of water right now.
Well, Ken, you know, as we start getting warming water and we get toward the end of May, usually, we start to see more and more bug hatches going on in the water, which is a food source for the fish. And to me, that kind of triggers a topwater bite.
Yeah, we just had the dark moon come through, and the full moon's toward the end of the month or the first part of next month. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the moon phase because I just have to fish the conditions for that day. But most of the sunfish should be on the beds towards the end of the month. The water temp varies. It cooled off like 4 degrees this last weekend, but most of the water temp should be in the mid to upper 60s coming this week. And the sunfish will start bedding then. And some of the largemouth have already spawned. We had them 4 days of warm sun, and they went up in a foot of water and spawned. So I imagine 25% of the largemouth have already spawned on some of the smaller lakes or areas where they can get on these muck bays way in the back to spawn.
Ken, I know that you do a lot of bass fishing, and you know, once we start getting more toward the summer or the late part of May, you start seeing a lot of topwater fishing, frogs and popars and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, floating bogs and pads in the back of these muck bottom bays can be really good for frog fishing. And it usually lasts, you know, all summer, but in the spring where there's less cover for them to be in, it's easy to target them. Pay special attention to duckweed. Duckweed is a floating vegetation that's little green, 8 to a little over 1/8 inch round. It produces a lot of oxygen, so even though there's not a lot of weeds growing back there, the duckweed creates more oxygen per surface area than any plant in our ecosystem.
When you're fishing a frog, you're moving it quicker, or are you leaving some pauses? How are you fishing that?
Well, there's several companies that make different frogs. Like Product 13 makes a frog that's really good for walking the dog for those guys that want to create a lot of action without making a lot of lateral movement. And then there's popping frogs where you want to call the fish, you know, to your bait. And then there's regular frogs where you can just kind of jerk them and pause them and pull them like a normal frog would, kick his legs and go like 18 inches and then kick again and then let it rest on top of a lily pad, you know, try to make it as natural as possible.
Yeah, I know. And any tips as far as what happens if they miss a bite? A lot of times you'll have those fish, especially the largemouth, they blow up on it, but there's no fish attached.
Yeah, most people set the hook based upon the visualization. And so with braid, you don't want to use a heavy rod action. You want to use like a medium, kind of a glass composite. Ugly Stick makes one that's pretty good. It might say medium heavy, but it's got a glass composite, so it's more forgiving. I always use 20-pound fluorocarbon in super clear water, but that can go against you on working the frog, because the fluorocarbon sinks. So otherwise, I'll go with 20-pound regular mono that floats. So sometimes going to the fluorocarbon, I want the head of my frog to dip into the water a little more so it displaces more water to create a bigger ripple effect by yet keeping the frog in the same location. That's one of my little secrets versus going to a popar frog that might be displacing too much noise. So there's a lot of technology going into frog fishing, but just get out there and start throwing it, and it is really fun.
You find, and I do sometimes, that if you miss a fish on a frog when you're frogging, if you have another rod rigged up with a grub or a plastic worm on it, throw back in there, a lot of times you'll catch that fish.
Yeah, the best bait to throw back in there is a weightless Senko. Rig it Texas rig, and sometimes you can put a little weight on the tail, so when you can swim it to the area of the fish casting beyond it, when you drop your rod tip, it'll sink back towards the fish at a very slow rate, and they can't stand it then.
You know, and one of my favorite sayings is when the dragonflies start to hatch, out come the popars and the topwater baits for smallmouth, and that could be really a blast.
Yeah, that usually happens after the rock bugs, they hatch, and they're really aggressive around in rocks, and the crawdads go nuts in them. So once in that transfer for when that environment weakens, you'll get a minnow bite on the edge of the weeds or the edge of the rocks, and then topwater for all species actually can be good.
I notice when, especially smallmouth, though, it seems like that, just like fishing a jerkbait, that pause between your twitches on like a popper or a surface popper is almost crucial for smallmouth to successfully catch them.
Yeah, a lot of times you have to dead stick it, and you'll see the smallie come up and look at your bait. Sometimes they want the feather trailer, sometimes they don't, and sometimes they want a popping bait. Popping baits work a lot better because they're calling more fish to the area, and sometimes you want to gather as many fish to that bait as you can to create that competitive nature for one of them to bite.
You know, and let's talk a little bit about the one thing that'll be coming up also late in the month will be smallmouth, and they'll be on the beds. And I mean, a lot of guys go out and they'll sight fish them on the beds, but you know, there's pros and cons to that too. I personally quit it because I just don't want to bother those fish when they're up there on beds.
You know, if you take a 4-pound smallie, you know, that thing is older than most people's kids that are out fishing them. You know, some of them can be over 20 years old for a good trophy fish. And so the thing of it is, they need their mouths to be healthy to grow that old. And you see a lot of these lakes that get a lot of bed fishing pressure through all the various torn hook sets and stuff in the fish's mouth. It's like, you know, the chance of this fish surviving to be that old isn't really good, is, you know, especially when they're going out there and bobber and leeching them. And I've seen where evidence of, you know, they gill hook them and those fish didn't make it. So that's a whole, you know, could be 100,000 eggs that didn't get a chance to hatch because, you know, the parents got wounded during the activity of spawning.
You know, a majority of them, I've seen some studies done where the majority of them make it back to the nest, but not all of them do. And it depends on how many little critters or predators are close by to come in and clean that nest out, and then they can do it pretty quick.
Yeah, sunfish and perch, and then a lot of people don't realize, but at night, the suckers come in and rob their nest. So, you know, they got to bump a lot of fish during the night, too.
I know, Ken, you work down here at Hayward Bait, and if somebody's looking for some tips on bass fishing or setting up with gear or something, you got a pretty wide range of plastics in here. I'm sure you had something to do with that, too.
Yeah, we have enough to cover the water column for all the seasons, you know, just different techniques, different water temp. I basically base my fishing on water temp, and that dictates where the fish are going to be and what's the best presentation.
I know, you, like I said before, you fish tournaments. We have a pretty active bass club here in the Hayward area. And another thing is, if you want to learn more about bass fishing, there's so much good stuff on for bass on YouTube now. It's just amazing, the amount of educational material.
Yeah, there isn't a lot for bass in this area, but there are other YouTube videos. You know, you have to kind of look out for the same type of lakes, you know.
You bet. Well, Ken, I want to thank you for coming on here and talking to our listeners.
Well, thanks, John, for stopping by.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking muskie fishing with Muskie Pro Pete Maina. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700. Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and all must go to make room for the sport shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, with the muskie season now open, on this part of the show, we'll be talking muskie fishing.
We're talking to muskie pro Pete Mena about muskie fishing a little bit now that we're looking at open water and open season.
We're getting to that time finally. Yeah, the open water was welcome, and now muskie season.
You know, let's talk about the early part of the muskie season. You know, a lot of guys talk about small baits and that fish are more lethargic, but, you know, water temperatures are actually pretty good out there.
Yeah, you know, the ice off was definitely late. I do know that the fish, at least on the deep clear lakes, were spawning still here just a few days ago. So technically, you could say we're late to a certain extent, but I'd say the water temps are pretty much in line and caught up. One thing I do think we're a little behind per average on weed growth. Still in a lot of cases, but overall, I think everything's setting up pretty good. And, you know, as long as we have fairly steady weather patterns, no extreme heat, no extreme cold fronts, you know, it could be really, really good.
You know, for the early part of the season, you recommend smaller baits usually?
Well, that's such a tough question because the fish make the rules. And I think in general, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's where you start. But what I do tell people is that you certainly don't have to wait for the little duckies to be out to try top water, and you certainly don't have to wait till July to try bigger baits. And a good general rule I kind of go by is if whatever is normally happening or should be happening weather-wise for that time of the year, if that's occurring, most likely you're going to be able to go with bigger, more aggressive presentations. So that's that size and probably speed as well. So this time of the year, it should be gradually warming up. If it's gradually warming up, you know, you should be able to do that. If you do have the extreme cold or the extreme heat, most likely, there's always exceptions to that rule too, but most likely it's going to be tougher. Most likely you're going to have to get tighter to the structure. You're going to have to be more in their face, probably slow down, rip things through the weeds like soft plastics and jerk baits or whatever to make it work. And, you know, just really working the structure hard and hoping to trigger a strike, dropping something on their nose. That's normally the way it works, John, and you know that.
You bet. You know, we're talking bait size. You know, what necessarily we might think is a big bait is really not big to a big fish.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, you see, you don't have to start musky fishing to see what fish will do. You know, you'll have perch try and eat a 5-inch crankbait that they're throwing for a walleye or something, and it's the same deal. If they can swallow it, they'll eat it. So, I mean, you know, if you're a big old gal muskie and something comes by that's, you know, 2-3 pounds, you might as well eat that, right? If it's easy, and so that's the whole thing. But it's just one of those things you got to play with. I would say overall, John, the odds are still with smaller. But, boy, certainly don't go small only. You know, you do want to have those bigger baits out there. And then all these lakes are different, too. I have no idea. You know, the only thing that really makes sense is, you know, the forage base in one lake can be different than the other. Just a lot more large forage or just more suckers in general in one lake than the other. So if there's a whole lot of a certain type of forage and it's a bigger forage, obviously, they're going to be taking advantage of that because there's a lot of it. In another lake, there might be a ton of minnows and, you know, some smaller type prey species that they're targeting, and that may make them target smaller baits overall if that's the case. So, you know, there's little things like that, but the reality is what you and I talk about is probabilities, but that's, you know, the fish make the rules beyond that.
Yeah, musky fishing is a whole other game out there. It's different than most fish. It's more like hunting, I think.
Oh, it's definitely like hunting. I just got done with over a month worth of turkey hunting, and turkey hunting reminds me exactly of musky fishing. There's a lot of frustration and work at times, and then all of a sudden it just happens. When it happens fast.
Pete Orr, thank you for coming out here.
Yeah, you bet, John.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. From there, you can link through to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.